to offer our prayers to God. Let us pray. O God, in Jesus you came to bind us to you and to one another. And how grateful we are for the cords that hold us and connect us to the family of faith, and have done so over the ages. God, today we're mindful of those in years past who have, in faithfulness, remained steadfast in their commitment to supporting and being engaged in the witness to your good news in Christ to our city of London. And today we seek to mend and strengthen the cords of our fellowship as we receive your mercy and grace and offer ourselves into your equipping and sustaining hold. God, how grateful we are for our family and friends here, for their love and care, and their encouragement and consolation in times of difficulty and loss. We thank you for uniting us together as one body by your love. And God, our hearts break and our minds find it so difficult to fathom how so many people in our world can be so cruel to one another and so cruel to themselves. We pray that those who find it impossible to love their neighbor might open their eyes and ears to Jesus and his message of love. We pray for those who find it impossible to live with themselves, whose closed eyes and ears make ending their lives seem like the only escape from the fear and pain. May they discover, we pray, the hope that comes from knowing your Son, who came to deliver us all from the burdens that threaten to break us. We too find it hard to love and difficult to hope sometimes. So forgive us, we pray, for not trusting you as we should. And God, today we're also wanting to trust you to intervene in the raging fires that threaten so many of our neighbors in Alberta. God, we pray that relief would come, that rain would come, that flames would be doused and people would be spared. Oh God, be with those that are on the front lines and risking their lives for the sake of others. God, today we gather at your table to remember the life that you gave in Jesus so that our lives might be saved. So we pray today through your Holy Spirit that we might adopt the same compassion and have the same assurance of Jesus, so that in fellowship together we may be even more inclined to serve sacrificially, to love and to forgive one another, and to share more freely our sorrows and joys with one another, and in doing so find our hearts bound more nearly and dearly in Christian love. So as we attend to your word now, may its creating and nourishing work strengthen and protect us from all that would trip us up as we journey on the path into tomorrow. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our third scripture lesson today is from Luke's historical account of the early church. We'll hear Acts 7, verses 44 through to chapter 8, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Our ancestors had the tent of testimony in the wilderness, as God directed when he spoke to Moses, ordering him to make it according to the pattern he had seen. Our ancestors, in turn, brought it in with Joshua when they dispossessed the peoples whom God drove out before our ancestors. And it was there until the time of David, who found favor with God and asked that he might find a dwelling place for the house of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made with human hands, as the prophet says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you are forever opposing the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors used to do. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the Righteous One, and now you have become his betrayers and murderers. You are the ones who received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you have not kept it. And when they heard these things, they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen. But filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. And while they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he died. And Saul approved of their killing him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Some years ago, Diane and I attended a Burton Cummings concert. And during the concert, Burton introduced one of his hit songs, I'm Scared. And he described the background to his writing the song. And he recounted that one cold, wintry afternoon in New York City, on his way to his hotel, he stopped to warm himself in the Cathedral of St. Thomas. And that's the Cathedral of St. Thomas, where he sat. And he sat in the sanctuary alone and described his experience as feeling a presence. He felt a presence. And what he described, I would understand as a numinous experience, an experience of the holy that overwhelmed him and it moved him. Friends, something of Burton's story reminds me of the import of our making accessible the way from where all God's children are, where all God's children find themselves, to the table that we're gathering around today. And last week, we heard the impact that our making a way this past year had for Grant and James and Sarah and Laurel and the art community. I understand more acutely the call and the great responsibility that we have as a church to be a conduit of God's grace And heaven forbid that we ever find ourselves to be stumbling blocks to God's grace. The world today desperately needs stepping stones to God's grace, not stumbling blocks. At a time when communities of faith grapple with self-understanding and have identity questions, I find Peter's counsel in our earlier lesson in 1 Peter to be a timely message. Interesting, isn't it, to hear from that Peter, the rock upon which Christ would build his church, right, should speak of believers as being living stones. Now, that's one metaphor that I have a hard time wrapping my wee brain around. Then again, the scriptures are forever challenging my limited gray matter and inviting me to think in ways the world considers foolish. And with the burgeoning growth and the melding of AI with inanimate things, the idea seems even less far-fetched today. Before we further consider what Peter, the talking rock, had to say, let us consider for a moment the stones that we find in our lesson from Acts, Dr. Luke's historical account of an important development in the life of the early church. See, Luke tells us initially, Christians continued to worship in the temple, and they had no desire to separate from other Jews. So on the first day of the week, they met in homes to commemorate the resurrection of Christ. But on the Sabbath, which was Saturday, they worshiped in the synagogue. So the people of the way were a sect within Judaism, and even Jewish priests had become part of their group. So this account from Acts relates a pivotal point in the life of the early church. Now, Stephen was one of the seven deacons who had been appointed by the laying on of hands to look after the everyday affairs of the community. And he became involved in debate with some men from the synagogue of freedmen and was brought before the council. And they charged that Stephen was changing the customs that had come down to them from Moses. They were especially fearful of his references to the destruction of the temple. In his defense speech, Stephen suggested that the faith represented by the tent of worship in the desert was a more living and faithful one than that which had grown up since they built the temple and had become an established people. The members of the council were so enraged by this that Luke describes them grinding their teeth at Stephen. And they dragged him outside the city walls to stone him. And like Jesus, Stephen prays for his persecutors as he dies. There are two kinds of stones in the Acts account. And one was a stumbling block, and the others were used to silence the truth. The stumbling block was the religious leader's insistence that Stephen was deviating from the long-held tradition that saw the temple, the building, as central to the Jewish faith. And the threat was so great, the fear so real, that killing Stephen was the only way to stifle him. So the dwelling place of God being in his people was the truth that tripped them up. And so for a long time now, I have recognized the real correlation between our self-understanding and our attentiveness or lack thereof of the building that symbolizes our identity, the church. I believe that our level of physical and spiritual accessibility is inextricably and mystically linked. Now, I forget now where I saw it or who said it, but I recall these words. Words that have stuck with me in a way it illustrates how temporal the medium or channel may be. But the word, the message endures. And the words I remember are these. The difference between a stumbling block and a stepping stone is your attitude. Now, you could say in the same way, the difference between a cornerstone and a rock in your path is your attitude. And Stephen was laying before his Jewish kin a stepping stone upon which they might experience the blessing of being God's chosen people in an even deeper and richer and more meaningful way. But because of their attitude, they perceived the truth to be a threat. And maybe they were thinking that if we permit God to escape, to escape the manageable confines of the temple, then the repercussions could be horrendous. Heavens, maybe even the Gentiles would be privy to God's blessings. And with the false sense of sure-footedness, the religious leaders were tripped up and they fell big time. Friends, the wonder of it all is that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wonder of God's love and acceptance that we, his imperfect, fallible, often disobedient, and faithless children are embraced and invited to be part of a spiritual dwelling, a living, dynamic, growing residence of God's presence in the world. The wonder of it all is that we are to be a royal priesthood, resting upon the real stone of destiny. Friends, do not trip over this one. It is a stepping stone to an even richer and deeper experience of becoming all that God intends for us. And I have little doubt that Peter's readers would be finding it difficult to think of themselves in these terms. Nearly 2,000 years later, I find the same kinds of difficulties being experienced by fellow believers. I recognize that some are unable to accept the truth that they are God's possession, as opposed to God being viewed as their possession. And I know some are unable to see themselves as part of a royal priesthood and choose instead to see themselves as spectators rather than participants in the mission and ministry of the church. And if you are skeptical and doubtful of the Spirit's ability to transform stumbling blocks into stepping stones, remember the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all is that one of the chief stone throwers, a man named Saul, should by God's grace and wonder-working power become one of the most animate living stones in the spiritual house of God, the Apostle Paul. The one who came to the realization that God's ultimate act of reconciliation toward his children was a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. Friends, when I hear this again, I have great hope, Great hope in knowing that the one who transformed the life of a stone thrower into a great kingdom builder continues to transform the most unlikely people, people like you, people like me, into champions of the faith, stepping stones for all who would come after us and are seeking a way out of the cold and into the warm embrace of God. In the warm embrace of our God who loves them immensely and unconditionally. So friends, let us move to the place of transformation and affirm our identity at the table of grace.